Destination Freedom. Listen, it's the Freedom Bell.
Hey, the Freedom Bell, my friends. And this is Paul Revere, called back from the shadows by the sound of the Freedom Bell to cry again a warning that the price of freedom is eternal vigilance.
Destination Freedom is presented by station WMAQ in the interest of human freedom the world over. Paul Revere is the symbol of warning, ready to ride down the skies to shout an alarm. His destination, now and forever, freedom.
Aye, it's a fact. Most of you think your freedoms were handed down to you free of charge. But in my time, we knew that freedom had a price. That freedom was not a heritage handed down from generation to generation. We knew that we had to fight to get it, and that those coming after us would have to fight to keep it. Aye, the perpetuation of freedom brings a fresh challenge to each and every age. Freedom must be won and eternally protected. And what does that mean? Work, effort, and more work. The way to freedom is contained in precious American documents. But those dreams on paper must become practices in reality. Aye, and there's the problem. To remain free takes effort, and to take advantage of the freedoms that are yours requires even more effort. Now you take Russell Thomas. He was a coal miner, and he applied a basic freedom to his own life when he realized he had a right to a job of his own choice, according to his own abilities. He learned, too, that even little freedoms require great effort. Hey, listen to his story, the story of Russell Thomas. The scene is a mining town in Pennsylvania.
Everybody off. We ain't running no
more. Come on. Well, that's the end of this mine, Russ. Even a coal mine gets tired and just plain dies.
Can't believe we've come to the end of the line, Andy. Well, come on over to the house for a long, cool drink or something. You got nowhere to go.
Yeah, I guess you're right. All us Joes are going to have a lot of time on our hands now, I guess.
Cheer up. Maybe it's not the end at all. Maybe it's a chance to begin.
Are you kidding? What kind of double talk is that?
Let's get going. I'll explain what I mean when we get cleaned up.
No, thanks. That's plenty for me. Gee, this tastes good.
That's the first time I've seen you smile today.
How can you be such an optimist? We lose our jobs, no prospects, and you grin like you haven't got good sense. Say, what does Martha think about all this?
Oh, she wants what I want, like always.
Well, what do you want? You gotta eat, you gotta do something to pay for just staying alive. And you got a kid, which I haven't, thank goodness.
What are you gonna do, Andy?
Me? Oh, I don't know. Odd jobs, I guess, till something turns up.
You mean you're going to stay here in Pennsylvania? In this dead coal town?
Oh, look, the place appeals to me. I have a little shack, and it's practically paid for. At least the bank stops breathing down my neck. I have a wonderful view. I can eat off my vegetable patch, have a few chickens. I'm not really so bad off. But honestly, Russ, I am worried about you.
Well, don't be. Hey, let me read you something I saw in a magazine a couple of weeks ago.
What? You mean you were thinking of taking one of those mail-away courses?
No, I'm not kidding. Yeah, listen. Here it is. One of the basic rights guaranteed an American under our way of life is to work where, when, and how he pleases.
Oh, yeah? That's interesting, if true.
You don't believe it, huh?
Do you? Yeah, I see you do. And you are crazy.
Why?
Well, because you gotta work where, when, and how your job tells you to. Otherwise, you don't eat. You got no place to come in out of the rain. You can't pay the doctor, and it's... Well, oh, what's the use? If you don't see that's a lot of rainbows, what can I say?
Finished?
Yeah.
I'll tell you why you're wrong. Now, take me, for instance. I've been a coal miner all my life because my dad was a coal miner, and I was plunged into coal mining before I had a chance to get my breath. I never knew what I really wanted to do. Now, I've got a chance to get out of this town, to find out what I want to do, what I can do. I'm not going to look for another coal mine.
Well, why don't you stay here and do something else, then?
Because the view from my front porch isn't enough, Andy. Do you understand that? And because opportunities are not here for what I think I want.
Well, gee, I never heard you talk like this before, Russ. You're sure you're feeling all right?
Yes, Andy, I never felt better in my life.
Well, what is it you want to do?
Well, one thing, I want to be clean.
Clean?
Sure. Get away from soot and coal dust. Breathe clean air.
We'll take a trip.
I want to get away from Coal Town for good, Andy.
Then go where? Do what? Who's going to hire you? All you know is coal mining.
I know how to patch people up. I know how to give first aid.
Huh? You were thinking of being a doctor? Well, you were 35 years old.
Mm-hmm. I got started late.
Oh, you'd never make it, Russ. 7 years of school, even if you could go back and pick up where you left off. It's a dream, that's all. Leave it alone.
It's a dream, all right, but I've learned one thing about dreams. They don't come true just because you wake up to reality. I know that. But they do point the way, Andy. They point the way. Somewhere along the way to my dream is where I belong, and I mean to find it.
You'll get lost, Russ. You'll get lost. You'll never make it.
We'll see. Anyway, it's now or never.
Hey, you can tell now that Russell Thomas had a dream. The American dream. But even in America, dreams are difficult to achieve. And their realization tests the very fiber of the man who dares to dream. But Russell Thomas dared to dream, and because he was a veteran, he enrolled in a university. And between the GI Bill and odd jobs performed by his wife, they made out financially, just made out. Meanwhile, in the laboratory...
What's the matter, Thomas?
Oh, that was an accident, Mr. Austin, but I did feel like smashing it.
Having trouble?
It's a simple experiment, I know that, but gosh, I don't see what the digestion of a piece of steak by acid in a bottle or dissecting frogs has got to do with healing the sick or relieving pain.
Medicine isn't very romantic, Russ. It smells bad. It isn't very pretty to look at. I don't know why anybody wants to be a doctor, do you?
You're kidding me, and I deserve it. Of course, I know there's a lot to learn, but I don't even seem to grasp the basic fundamentals.
Now, take it easy. You want to learn. That's perhaps most important.
And I see those years stretching out before I even begin to begin.
One thing at a time. Now, you give it a try. Start over tomorrow. And, Rust, you have to keep that extra job you started last week.
You've heard about the high cost of living, Mr. Austin?
Yes, we all have. But may I say generally that anything worth having is getting an increasingly high price tag put on it? Now, you think that over, Thomas. Maybe this isn't what you really want. But maybe it is. And if it is, even though it's tough for you, after all, if it's what you want, it's worth the price you pay.
You're not asleep, are you, Russ?
No. Sorry, was I keeping you awake, Martha?
You were restless.
Sorry.
What's a wife for if she can't worry about her husband and help him if she can?
You're more than a wife, Martha. You're part of me.
You're not very happy, are you, Russ?
With you and the baby, yes.
No, I mean about what we set out to do.
Maybe it's just me. Maybe, like Andy said, I'm reaching too high.
Reaching, my grandmother used to say, helps you grow.
Sounds corny. I guess it's gotta be corny, because it's true. Or so I thought once.
You're trying to race to the end, Russ. Having what you want the way you want it is very trying. Just remember, it's what happens at the end of all the work and trying that's important. And try to be happy while you're getting there. Like the baby. One step at a time, fall down a lot, pick yourself up. Pretty soon you're walking. And then one day you're running and you're there. See, you can certainly tell my father was a preacher, can't you?
I got started later than the baby, Martha.
Well, I should hope so.
Learning's harder for me now.
You want to quit?
No. Not because it's hard, but because... well, maybe I belong somewhere along the way to being a doctor. Maybe I'm not right for the end of this line. I wouldn't mind that if I knew where I belong.
And keep on going as you are. And when the right place comes along the way, you'll know it, maybe. You are learning, Russ. Just saying what you did proves that to me.
But when the time came for a report on Russ to the Veterans Administration, Mr. Austin had a serious talk with him.
Hey, sit down, Russ, out of the draft of that fan. Gave me a stiff neck, but it's a darn humor today. I've left it on to stir up a little air.
Thanks. You know, Mr. Austin, you're treating me just like my dentist who's about to tell me I have to have those wisdom teeth extracted.
Well, not exactly, but... oh, my news isn't too good. You're depending on this help from the GI Bill, aren't you?
Couldn't be in this school without it, Mr. Austin.
But in order to continue receiving benefits from it, you understand you must maintain a reasonably high scholastic average?
And I haven't?
Well, your attitude's excellent, which is a big point in your favor.
I get E for effort, as they say in grammar school.
Cheer up, Russ. I believe in you. I admire what you're doing in trying to find yourself. And I want to help you. But sometimes it's of more help to stop a man from a course he's pursuing than to help him continue in the wrong direction.
I guess you're right. What you're saying is something I guess I already know. I just wasn't cut out to be a doc.
I don't know. You fulfill many of the qualifications. You'd have a marvelous doctor-patient relationship. You're honest, you're sympathetic.
But they don't give credits in a university for that, do they, Mr. Austin?
It depends on the profs, I'd say. But, of course, there are certain things of a highly technical nature you must master before you practice medicine.
That last is what I'm short on, isn't it?
Well, let's put it this way, Russ. Your first year hasn't been exactly spectacular, but starting over at 35 is a spectacular decision. I'll recommend that the GI Bill help continues.
What?
But I want you to do something for me.
Well, sure, anything if you think I have a chance. I'd do anything.
I want you to take a rest from your studies from the summer. Now, do you have any job you can do?
Well, I have a friend in Coaltown who'd put us up if I'd be a hired hand around his place.
Fine. You'll eat, and you'll have a place to live and no real financial worries. Spend the summer working and thinking. Read at night if you can in these books. See if they're hard for you to read and understand, or if they interest you. Then we'll talk again in the fall.
All right. I don't know how to thank you.
Just try to find yourself. Really find yourself. That'll be thanks enough. Good luck, Russ.
Pretty view down there in the valley, huh, Russ? With the moon coming over the hill. Peaceful, isn't it?
Yes, it's peaceful, Andy.
Isn't that what a man wants? Peace.
I don't know. When you say that, I remember how my leg went to sleep a little while ago and how painful it was waking it up.
I think life is painful, Andy. If you're waked up and are dealing with problems and trying to solve them. I don't know if a man was meant to have peace all the time.
You like to make it hard for yourself, don't you, Russ?
I guess I remember that the gods help those who help themselves.
Look at me. Life isn't all that tough here in Coal Town. I never had it so good, even when the mine was working full time. I have all I want. I have security. Something people are killing themselves to get in the city.
And you're living to yourself.
Oh, sure. A man does pretty well these days to look after himself without worrying his head over other people.
You've stopped living, Andy.
Yeah? Well, I breathe, don't I? I eat. I live better than you do.
How far over that mountain can you see, Andy? It's a beautiful view, all right, but over those mountains in both directions, east and west, thousands of miles away, there's no peace. But a war that's really your war and mine. A war where a few men are protecting your right to withdraw from life to this shack. And my right to try to find the kind of job I feel I want to do and must do. Where is there really peace? Maybe in that graveyard down there by the church. Can there be peace when all that's important in life is threatened? Your rights and mine and the rights of men like us to have different ways of looking at things. Can there be peace in a man's soul when he wants to be something and add what he can to the happiness of other people and he doesn't take an opportunity that's his because he's lucky enough to be called an American?
And you were a GI and you can talk like that?
I was a GI, yes, and there was a lot about the Army I didn't like. But I liked what I was a part of. I was part of a machine that was in business to mow down some guys who wanted to push me around for the rest of my life.
And now you're pushing yourself around. That don't make sense.
Oh, but it does make sense. As long as it's me doing the pushing around of me. Suppose we all got away to our mountain shacks and let the other guy, whoever he is, wrestle with the world.
Well, if we all did that, there wouldn't be any wrestling.
There wouldn't be any civilization. We wouldn't be any better off than people 200 or 300 years ago in America.
Are we any better off? Aren't we still fighting the same wars? Are we any happier?
Sure. Because we're closer to the end of the fighting. Maybe. We've made the poison come up to the surface where it can break and be treated.
That's the doctor talking, all right.
What we've got in America today, Andy, is greater than any nation ever had at any other time. I ought to stop talking about what is bad about the world. Thank God for what's good in it. And there's a lot.
You must have read about more than medicine in that school you went to.
This is something I didn't have to get in a book. I got it from people and seeing a little of the world when I was in the Army. And I got it from you, Andy.
From me?
Yeah. You gave me a chance to think this summer. First time in my life I've stopped long enough to really think about myself and you and this country. I didn't come up with the answer to where I'll personally wind up, but I did come up with the answer that the chance to become what I was meant to be couldn't happen anywhere else in the world.
Maybe not, maybe not. But why do you try so hard, Russ? You haven't answered me that one.
Because, Andy, I think I ought to be worthy of that kind of chance. Do you get what I mean?
Aye, Russell Thomas was learning, and he was to learn even more in Coal Town before he returned for his talk with Professor Austin. The night he and Martha were to take the train back to the university town, they were waiting in the drugstore near the station.
Another soda, Martha? We've still got half an hour before the train leaves.
Oh, no thanks. Can't we just sit here and be cool?
Sure. It smells good in here, doesn't it?
And it's clean. I always remember drugstores pleasantly, Russ. They're a happy place to me.
And to me. I guess most kids think of drugstores as a second home.
That's a crazy driver.
Hey, he'll never make that turn. That's the worst hill in Coal Town.
There's another car coming down the incline. Look. Those lights.
Hey, they'll crash just as sure as you're sitting here. Look at it.
That's so horrible.
You're mighty handy with a bandage, mister. Guess that young fella wouldn't have waited for the doctor if you hadn't fixed up that tourniquet nice and neat.
Thanks, you weren't so bad yourself. Can I wash up again?
Sure. There you are. And here's another towel.
Lucky it happened near your drugstore.
Mm-hmm. Next best thing to a doc's office. Even the doc's got to stock up from me. We work sort of hand in hand.
Yeah, that does it. How'd you learn such first-class first aid?
Oh, there's a lot more to being a druggist than squirting sodas and selling comic books, young man.
Sure, but I didn't realize there was that much.
Say, how'd you learn so much yourself?
Oh, my dad taught me. And then I had a kind of knack for it. You don't remember me around Coal Town because your son used to run the drugstore.
Yeah, I used to have a place over in Pittsburgh. Was retired. Came back here when my son...
Is he still in the Army?
He was buried in the Pacific 3 months ago. He wanted to be a pharmacist like me, but he never got a chance to get to the university. So I got retread and came back into harness here in Coal Town. Glad you think I haven't lost my touch.
You went to school to be a druggist?
Pharmacist is the word. Yeah, I used to think all you did was buy a drugstore and you were in business. Of course, I got started a long, long time ago. Went to school after I was 40.
No kidding.
You think 40's old?
No, I'm pretty close to it.
Well, I wanted to be a good pharmacist, and there wasn't any easy way to do it. Took me 4 years, but it was worth every bit of it. Wished I'd started being a doctor, but a pharmacist is the first cousin to a doc. They're in the same business if they care about people.
That's a very interesting point of view.
There's our train, Russ. We better hurry.
Yeah. Well, so long.
And thanks to you, son. Thanks a lot.
It's me who should thank you. And I do from the bottom of my heart.
You're awfully thoughtful, Russ.
Mm-hmm.
It was a pretty marvelous thing you did back there, pitching in on those men. You probably helped save their lives.
I hope so.
You and that druggist got very chummy, didn't you?
Not druggist, Martha, pharmacist.
What do you know?
I didn't mean to correct you, Martha, but that's what he said. The pharmacist does sound more interesting, though, doesn't it?
Well, Thomas, sometimes I think I don't know you at all.
That old man told me a strange thing, Martha. He went to school when he was 40 years old.
Well?
And he got through. He got a diploma. It's hanging on his wall.
Well?
And he owns his own drugstore.
Pharmacy.
Oh, anyway, Coal Town has given me one heck of a lot to think about. Now, let's try to get some sleep. We'll be home at 7 tomorrow morning.
Well, if it isn't Russ Thomas, back ahead of time.
Hello, Professor.
Oh, you look great, Russ. Coal Town must have done you good. Sit down. Tell me all about it.
Mr. Austin, what's the difference between studying to be a pharmacist and a doctor?
Well, it's an entirely different course, naturally. To become a physician takes much longer. Why?
Does this university give courses in pharmacy?
Yes, but...
Think I could make it?
I don't understand what you're driving at.
I think I've found what I want, what I can do.
You are serious, aren't you?
Sure, you docs need good drugstore, pharmacies.
Oh, we certainly do.
Men of integrity and character that'll give you good cooperation in filling prescriptions. Quick, intelligent service in delivery of medicines.
Did I lend you that book, too? Oh, but seriously, of course a good pharmacist is invaluable to the doctor.
And to the community.
Russ, you're lit up like a Christmas tree.
I should be. I've found out I can work how, when, and where I please and be happy, I think.
I believe you will be.
Now, will you help me change over on my GI papers? Maybe this is something I really can do. At least I can't wait to try.
Russell Thomas was a coal miner, and when it was necessary to find a new job, he had a right to choose his job. No one told him what he had to do. And there's no end to his story, for he has the right to dream the American dream, and as long as he has the ability and the courage to meet and solve his problems, he can make the American dream work for him.
Sure. The chance to become what I wanted to be couldn't happen anywhere else in this world today. I want to be worthy of that chance.
What does it mean to you to possess freedom and human rights? Consider what you as an American are guaranteed automatically through your birthright.
Freedom of religion. Freedom of speech.
Freedom from unreasonable searches.
The right to assemble.
The right to petition.
The right to jury trial and counsel.
The right to summon witnesses.
No illegal loss of liberty.
No excessive bail or fines.
Just compensation for property.
And those are just a few highlights from your Bill of Rights. Do you know about them? How they affect your everyday life? Do you work to keep your rights, or do you just sit back and let others protect you? What do you say and do when real Americans talk about the benefits of the Bill of Rights? Are you smug and self-satisfied? Do you lean back and say,
"Of course I know about the Bill of Rights. Everybody knows about the Bill of Rights."
Aye, you can know about a thing without it being a part of you. Is freedom a part of you? Do you agree with Russ Thomas?
What we've got in America today is greater than any nation has had at any other time. We ought to stop talking about what is bad about the world and thank God for what is good in it. And there's a lot.
Or do you think, like Russ's friend Andy, that the right to be left alone is the great right of Americans? Do you agree with his philosophy?
Freedom for a man to work how, when, and where he chooses? Interesting, if true. You gotta work where, when, and how your job tells you to. Otherwise, you don't eat. You got no place to come in out of the rain. You can't pay the doctor. What's the use? If you can't see that kind of talk as a lot of rainbows, what can I say?
In a way, Andy's right. Freedom is a lot of rainbows, a lot of dreams that each successive generation must make realities by a lot of grit and courage. Aye, the American dream is a curious dream, and we must remember.
Freedom is not a heritage that is handed down from generation to generation. It is a fresh challenge to each and every age.
Aye, freedom must be won and eternally protected. And what does that mean? Work, effort, and more work. And sometimes it means that men must fight and die. You see, it's up to you. The way to freedom is contained in precious American documents, but it's up to you to make those dreams on paper become practices in reality. It's up to you to keep America free. And it's up to you to keep America on the road to destination freedom.
Portrayed by Maurice Copeland, will return next Saturday to narrate another chapter in the story we call Destination Freedom, presented by Station WMAQ in the interest of human freedom the world over. Today's script was written by Bill Hodapp and produced under the direction of John Cowan. Russ Reed played Russell Thomas. Other members of the cast were Donald Gallagher, Wiley Hancock, and Fern Persons. The special music was composed by Emil Soderstrom and played by Helen Morton and Jose Bethencourt. Our engineer, Al Osterhoff, sound effects by Bill Rose. This is Charles Chan reminding you that the sound of the Freedom Bell is your invitation to follow Paul Revere along the road to Destination Freedom. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.